to, first of all, welcome you. Primarily, I'm welcoming you because I'm sitting up here on this dais, and it puts me in a role where I have the privilege of welcoming you, but I also really want to thank you very much for welcoming me and for inviting me to be here with you tonight. I began practicing Vipassana in 1991, and even after 28 years of practice, I still feel excited about these teachings and about sharing them together in community. So I feel really, truly honored to be here with you tonight, so thank you. I was reflecting on, actually before tonight, and then again tonight when we were chanting the three refuges, Buddhang Saranang Gacchami, Dhammang Saranang Gacchami, Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. I take refuge in the Buddha. I take refuge in the Dharma. I take refuge in the Sangha. The Buddha taught these were three genuine refuges. In other words, three places that we can turn to get really authentic replenishment and also guidance about how to navigate life so that we suffer less. And that's certainly been my experience. And what I know about being in circle like this, that we're doing right in this very moment, is that we're practicing all three refuges. Buddha, the literal translation is to be awake. So together we come together to practice waking up to the present moment and to insight. And Dharma, the literal translation, is truth. Or we could think of it as Buddhist teachings. Or the way I translate Dharma in my own journey is good guidance. Where do I find good, solid guidance that stands the test of direct experience? And it's not for me in all Buddhist teachings, but it is truly in many, many Buddhist teachings. The teachings about mindfulness and coming into the present moment. The teachings, bless you. The teachings about loving kindness and compassion. The teachings about joy. These are really solid life guidance. And so that's how I see Dharma. And then Sangha is what we are. We're people who are journeying together on this path of awakening. And so we're doing all three right now. We're practicing Dharma. The Dharma I want to share with you tonight is on the topic of equanimity. We're practicing Buddha in our individual efforts to be present. And we're practicing Sangha, and we're doing it together. Like the, right now, because I'm here on this dais, I'm the goose at the front of the V. Other times you are the goose at the front of the V. We do it together, and in that way we travel great distances together. So thank you. So one of the Buddha's primary teachings, there are many, but one of them is the teaching of what's called the Brahma Viharas, which are four emotional states or also sort of choices. They are both. Either or both, that we can make, that he taught lead to well-being. And those four are loving kindness, compassion, appreciation, and equanimity. And I love all four of them, and they're all different. They all support and serve each other. I wanted to talk about equanimity tonight. Sharon Salzberg, a famous Western Buddhist teacher, you've probably all heard of her, said, and I quote, "Equanimity is hard to talk about." And it is. It's a little bit more vague than loving kindness, compassion, and appreciation, or appreciative joy. And that actually makes it a little bit more intriguing. Like, what is this quality? Synonyms are taught. Our balance, serenity, peace. A description that I found from the from Wittgenstein that I really like to describe equanimity. The calm bottom of the sea at its deepest point, which remains calm however high the waves are on the surface. The calm bottom of the sea at its deepest point, which remains calm however high the waves are on the surface. I like that description because life is going to happen no matter what. The Buddha had chronic, severe back pain. This path isn't teaching us how to escape the realities of change and loss. But it is teaching us about how to meet the realities of change and loss and imperfection with the possibility of equanimity, a possibility of finding and landing in that deepest part of the sea, no matter how high the waves are. So, and also the Buddha taught certain perspectives or reframes about life on life's terms that can help our minds kind of grasp the ways in which we're making it worse and not do them. Grasp how our reactivity, our fighting life, makes it so much harder. So there's a number of different kind of reframes that he taught that I think are really valuable. And so this little collection of songs that I'm offering you tonight speak to some of these reframes. And so I want to invite you to respond to these songs however you wish. If you want to just close your eyes and listen, that's fantastic. If you want to read along with the words, please do that. Also, feel free to welcome to take these home if you want to keep them at the end of the night. If you would like to sing along, that's great too. Recent research has shown that group singing is one of the primary ways to reset the vagus nerve so that we can be in rest and digest. So it's a good thing to sing along if you want. Great to listen to, whatever you want. So I'm going to begin with this song, Equanimity, that I co-wrote with a couple of friends. We wrote it from our own experience as Buddhist practitioners. We also wrote it after having practiced equanimity with a local teacher many of you know named Gil Fronsdahl. So a lot of these teachings, they're Buddhist, they come from the Buddha, but they came through Gil to us. It's like this, it can be no other way. Everything that came before has led us to this moment. It's like this, so open and let go. Bring awareness and acceptance to this moment as it's passing. Here I am, life arising as it will. How can I bend gracefully with the wind surrounding me? Here I am. Life brings both sorrow and joy, letting go the fight, the blame, Stand in the heart of the moment, inner stability. Return to a place of stillness, equanimity. Just this much, seeing clearly into now. No need for all the stories, just naming what is present. Just this much, without reactivity. I don't have to push to clutch, I can simply let it be. Stand in the heart of the moment, inner stability. Return to a place of stillness, equanimity. Stay awake to indifference, to don't care. You can feel your heart respond without getting swept away. Stay awake, the promises are great. Radiance, exalted mind, are the praises Buddha sang, are the praises. I'm just going to switch guitars. So one of the reframes that can help us choose a way of responding to life that will lean us more towards equanimity, this idea of peace or balance, is the, in this song it's spoken about, the idea of just this much. And we work with that whenever we practice mindfulness. We put down the past, we put down the future, and we come into the here and now. So let's just do that right now. So just feel your body sitting and feel whatever's happening for you in your torso right now in terms of breath and physical sensation and emotion. And then just seeing the colors in the room, hearing my voice, feeling the sensation of the temperature, the air on your skin. This is all that's actually happening in terms of our actual lived life. The rest is thought. Our thinking minds are amazing, but they also have a fairly significant shadow side, which is they take us out of this lived moment where we actually are into a dreamscape of past and future fantasy. And that's even okay if the dreamscape is sweet. The thing is, as you well know, as we all know as human beings, the dreamscape can be quite frightening. And our nervous system responds to whatever our minds are doing. It can't distinguish between imagination and lived experience very well. So our nervous system responds. So we have just as a species now, we're in a heightened state of fight or flight compared to all our other animal brethren who aren't in a good, things are hard right now on this planet. But when the sun is shining and they're resting, their nervous system rests with them. And we can do that too, unless our minds are spinning some story. If we can come back to just this much, this is a lot of the reason we practice mindfulness. Just this much. And here in the present moment, it may not be all good. There's some good here, right? In this moment together, we're safe. We're physically safe right now in this lived moment. That's a good thing. There's a few good things here, but it may not all be good. Some of us are undoubtedly in physical pain right now because that's part of how the body is. But even if all in the moment isn't pleasant, even if there's stress in the here and now, mindfulness invites us to deal with just this much. So if I wake up at 3 in the morning with anxiety about what might happen to me in 10 years, with these practices, I have a choice. I can come back to the here and now. Notice that I'm warm, that my bed is comfortable, that I love the darkness. Feel my breath. Find the refuge in being awake to the here and now just this much. So to support us with these ideas, this particular reframe of just this much, there are two more songs on the bottom of this same page. I Have Arrived and Breath. These teachings both come from the wonderful, wonderful teacher Thich Nhat Hanh, who I believe turns today the 13th on, was it October 11th? He turned 93. So I have arrived just this much.
I have arrived.
notice something, anything about this moment that we're all in together right now that you consider wonderful. Joy is replenishing to our systems, so looking for and finding the good is a skillful action. So just this much. Another contemplation or understanding that we spend time with in Buddhist practice is the contemplation of impermanence. And I found, as I've worked with it myself as a yogi and as I've brought it to students, that there can be a lot of resistance, reactivity, and while I can totally resonate with that grief, I also feel myself, and you can see whether you agree with this or not, that it's true. And so, since it's true, it makes much more sense to make peace with it than to fight it. Everything that is born dies. Whether that's a person or an idea, a song or a mountain, everything that is born dies. And what I found as I struggled with this reality is that it lends a poignancy and an urgency to being my best self in each moment. If I, in a given lived moment, I have a choice about how I respond. And if I'm forgetting impermanence, I'm forgetting that the child who's misbehaving in front of me will be an adult by the time I blink my eye. If I'm forgetting, then I might choose to react from, a less evolved part of myself. But when I'm remembering impermanence, there's an urgency to loving. There's an urgency to patience. There's an urgency to radical kindness to myself and others. There's an urgency to showing up rather than hiding out, although I love hiding out. So impermanence puts a fire, can put a fire underneath us to show up in this short life with as much goodness as we can muster. So in Oakland, there's a cemetery. It's called the Mountain View Cemetery. My grandfather is buried there and several friends. And it's also quite a beautiful, it's mountainous, and it's got some of the oldest trees in Oakland. So I walk there quite frequently with friends. So I wrote this song about walking there and also about impermanence. The Don Juan mentioned in the song is from the Carlos Castaneda book. I appreciate the dumb one who said, keep death upon your shoulder. It will remind you to love. Sitting quiet with my heart, a thought welled up in me one day. What if someone drops a bomb? Have I said all I must say? No, my heart cried out to me. It really must be said. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I like walking in the cemetery. It's so beautiful there in the summer. I throw a frisbee with a friend, and we look at the sky and wonder. I appreciate the company of the dead. I think it was Don Juan who said, keep death upon your shoulder. It will remind you to love. Complacent eyes, hard and cold, protection from the fear. But like the sun that melts, a thought that helps is that soon none of us will be here. Am I ready for the time when the one I take for granted is dying? Remembering, I hold a friend and whisper thanks for this moment we're sharing. I like walking in the cemetery. It's so beautiful there in the fall. The changing leaves fall from the trees like they do from us all. I appreciate the company of the dead. Went and read the page where Don Juan said, keep death upon your shoulder. It will remind you to love. Consider the folks I've heard while struggling to be happy. I hope you'll find it in you to forgive me. This is such a strange reality, this reality of impermanence, change, imperfection. So in certain monasteries, particularly in Southeast Asia, but all over the world, this next chant is chanted by the monastics daily. Some of us here know it, I'm sure. We'll do it in Pali once, and then in English a few times. You can see how it lands for you. This chant doesn't land for everyone well, but it's an important piece of our Buddhist dogma. Our Buddhist insight. So it's anicca vata sankara uparavaya tamino upajitta nirijanti tesam upasamo sukho. All things are impermanent, they arise and they pass away. To be in harmony with it is true. So much more to be said about this, but I'm going to move on. So far we've talked about the reframe of just this much, and the understanding around impermanence. And then the next teaching is about letting go of what we can't control. And that is, these Brahmaviharas have ancient phrases that can be repeated. And this particular reframe about stop trying to control what we can't control is the phrase practice. The original phrase practice, the ancient phrase, which many of us Westerners have trouble with, it's more than 2,000 years old. Yes. You are the heir to era, H-E-I-R. You are the heir to your karma. Your happiness and unhappiness depend on your actions, not so much on my wishes for you. So that's kind of stark. And it can be troublesome if we analyze it too much. But the pith of the teaching, in my opinion, is to allow people the dignity of their own journeys. And to stop trying to control what we can't control, which is other people's lives. I don't know about you, but I have found that it is quite difficult to control my own life. There are behaviors that I have that if I could have waved a magic wand 20 years ago and made them go away, I would have. But I couldn't, and they're still with me. You know, there's very little we have control over. But there are some places where we can make a really potent difference, not only in our own lives, but in the lives of others. And that's what we call compassionate action, a really important part of the Buddhist journey. Compassionate action looks like showing up where we can show up and make a difference. But this teaching of letting go means using the wisdom of discernment to see, where am I fighting an unwinnable battle? And letting it go, really, truly letting it go. And this means allowing for imperfection. Allowing for what we see in the world. Doesn't mean we don't have compassionate action in every possible way we can, but it means finding that narrow bridge that we can walk on, where we do the action that we can and we let go of the rest, so that we can experience equanimity, because moving towards and into the world from a place of balance is our, gives us our best chance of making a difference. When we're moving into it from a place of reactivity, deep distress and rage, I'm not saying that doesn't have its place, but over time we burn out. So there's a little song here for this particular teaching, and it's down at the bottom of page 3. It's called Perfection. Words are from Jack Kornfield. And I want to say that this song and also the breath song are part of the canon of the Threshold Choir. I believe there are some Threshold Choir people here tonight. And anyway, the Threshold Choir are choirs of primarily women who sing at the bedsides of the dying. So that's where this comes from, this particular song. Do not seek perfection in a changing world. Instead, perfect your love. Do not seek perfection in a changing world. Teaching of the eight worldly winds. The Buddha taught this by asking a room full of students, what is the difference between being learned in the ways of freedom and being a regular householder? And they said, what? And he said, those who are learned in the ways of freedom understand the impermanence of the eight worldly winds. And they do not grasp and they do not push away. The eight worldly winds I'm leaving you in suspense while I look for my piece of paper. Praise and blame, gain and loss, pleasure and pain, success and failure. The Buddha, these are words from the Buddha. Praise and blame, gain and loss, pleasure and pain, success and failure are the eight worldly winds. They ceaselessly change. As a mountain is unshakable by the wind, so the heart of a wise person is steady amidst all the changes on this earth. So if we don't know this, average householder, most of us are, we get praise. I mean, even if we do know this, it's kind of, this is how I am. I get praise and I'm happy. I get blame and I'm freaked out. What else? I get gain and I'm happy. I get lost and I'm freaked out. You know, pleasure, happy, pain, freaked out, success, happy, failure, freaked out. That's kind of how we are. The teaching here is that we all get all of these things from time to time. And because we understand impermanence, we know that when we get something like praise, not to hang on to it, not to create an identity around it, because it will go. It will go, and we'll be left with wide swaths of neither really praise nor blame, or worse, the terrible ditches of blame. We get all of that. And same with blame. When we get blame, not to create a frightened, contracted identity around blame. Blame too will go, and there we are again with a wide swath of neither pain, neither praise nor blame, or with praise. With this understanding, we can kind of sail these waves that are up there at the top of life where we dwell most of the time. We can sail them with less reactivity and more equanimity. So, I would like to close with the brilliant teaching of a 19-year-old Joni Mitchell on the back page of your song sheet. And this also has a little tag ending with a brilliant teaching of an 85-year-old Pete Seeger. You know, I told you about how I had certain behaviors that if I could have, I knew about 20 years ago, and if I could have waved the magic wand, they would have gone away. Well, one of them is paper frenzies. Really? Okay, here we go. Both sides now. Bows and flows of angel hair and ice cream castles in the air and feather canyons everywhere. I've looked at clouds that way, but now they only block the sun. They rain and snow on everyone. So many things I could have done, but clouds got in my way. Oh, I've looked at clouds from both sides now, from up and down, and still somehow it's clouds' illusions I recall. I really don't know clouds at all. Moons and junes and Ferris wheels, the dizzy dancing way you feel when every fairy tale comes real. I've looked at love that way, but now it's just another show. You leave them laughing when you go, and if you care, don't give yourself away. I've looked at love from both sides now, from give and take, and still somehow it's love's illusions I recall. I really don't know love at all. Tears and fears and feeling proud to say I love you right out loud. Dreams and schemes and circus crowds, I've looked at life that way. But now old friends are acting strange. They shake their heads, they say I've changed. Something's lost, but something's gained in living every day. I've looked at life from both sides now, from win and lose, and still somehow it's life's illusions I recall. I really don't know life at all. Daughter It's worth it anyway. Someday.